Nahilo mil café. Minu ma daw fil-Maltinu għaw ċinu modija li ħakqom naħilom il-kappella l-kontribuzzi u bitaħħom u li ftit li xejn nafu xkienu jisak. Naħilom il-kappella.
Nsemmikom u għal-darbohran għakom għal-edizzjoni uħra ta' Naħilom il-kappella. Is-sajf kull ma jmur qegħdin nitkellmu għal min jisma' l-ewwel xandira 2010 qegħdin fit-tarf tal-Ulju u deħlin f'Awwissu, is-sajf Malta iwaqqaf ħafna mill-attivitajiet. Imma waħda mill-attivitajiet li kienet propju fit-tarf tas-sajf bidu tal-ġranet tal-Ulju tal-2010 kienet xi ħaġa li aħna ġarra purtajna dwarha meta tkellimna ma' Franza Mut. Kien hawn kungress Malta interessantissimu kien organizzat mill-International Napoleonic Society, Soċjetà Napoleonica Internazzjonali. Għalkemm fuq il-kontenut bejn wieħed u ieħor smajna, illum se jkolli l-opportunità u naħseb anki l-pjaċir għax jinteressakom li nagħmel intervista mal-President ta' din is-soċjetà, jiġifieri s-suġġett ovvjament jekk hija Soċjetà Napoleonica, xi ftit jowiss imiss miegħu. Imma tajjeb li wieħed jiltaqa' ma' bniedem bħalma huwa David Markham, il-President ta' din is-soċjetà li hija biex ngħidu hekk ibbażata f'Olympia, Washington, l-Istati Uniti. U li maddaqqatajn għalina li nsegu ix-xena storika Franċiża mill-Ewropa, forsi ma jiġix f'moħħna li xi ħadd mill-Istati Uniti ikollu dall-interess ikollu din l-għada. Fil-fatt, il-President għalli li din is-soċjetà ġiet imwaqfa l-iktar bil-fondi ta' xi ħadd partikolari ġol l-Istati Uniti u li xtaq li tibqa' għaddejja l-attività u hekk jagħmlu. Jiltaqgħu u kull sena imorru minn post għal ieħor iżuru postijiet differenti fejn xi darba kien Bonaparti Napoleon u hemmhekk jagħmlu kungress fuq topics li jiġu mtella minn professuri diversi minn universitajiet diversi u studjużi oħra u awturi oħra. Fil-fatt, dis-sena kien imiss lill-Malta ma kienux għadhom ġew marru postijiet bħal Ġerusalemm. L-Eġittu marru b'ħafna postijiet ġol Ewropa u wieħed li imissom is-sena d-dieħla huwa l-Olanda. U għalhekk dan fih innifsu qed jagħmlu vjaġġ ta' dina s-soċjetà. Peress li tkellimna fuq il-kungress innifsu, illum l-intervista se niftaħha iżjed. U għalhekk il-fatt li David Markham, il-President ta' din is-soċjetà, aċċetta li jiena nintervistah, se nieħu gost li din l-intervista iwassalilkom. Hija xi ħaġa interessanti li naħseb teħdu gost biha u fl-istess waqt nerġa' ngħid. Ħa naraw il-veduti ta' persuna li anki huwa jikteb diversi artikli. Fuq Bonaparti ma din id-darba minnaħa l-oħra tal-Atlantiku li Bonaparti marna xilu qatt jasal ġifieri Napoleon meta ċeda għal kollox fl-1915 qabel ma mar Santalena kienet diġà tidher ċara li m'għandux ir-ritorn tiegħu li jixtiequ bħalma kien ħarab minn Elba u għalhekk kien qed jirranġa biex jitlaq l-Istati Uniti. Il-ħsieb ma rnexxix kif għadna wkoll aħħar darba għaliex min kellu jieħdu baġ baxxem ixtara darbti u għalhekk kixfu mal-Ingliżi u ma marx hemmhekk. Kombinazzjoni fl-aħbarijiet ta' ftit ġranet ilu dejjem qed nitkellmu l-Ulju 2010 l-ewwel xandira li qed tixxandar illum u dan ngħidu minħabba li jkun hemm min jisimgħu minn fuq l-internet mill-websajt ta' Campus FM biex il-programmi wara xi ġimgħa li jkunu xxandru jsibu ruħhom hemmhekk u jibqgħu hemmhekk. Propju f'dawn il-ġranet tħabbar li jibnu ajruport mitjar ċkejken fuq il-gżira ta' Santalena biex wieħed ikun jista' jaqgħada mal-kontinent Afrikan. Nafu li hija gżira fuq il-punent tal-kontinent Afrikan. L-isfel ħafna fl-oċean u sallum l-unika konnessjoni kienet mill-Afrika t-isfel tieħu l-vapur li jgħaddi jagħmel waqfa Santalena. Issa bda l-ajruplan wieħed ikun jista' forsi jmur spiss u min jaf bis-saħħa tiegħu wkoll probabbli n-nies ta' l-Afrika t-isfel u anke l-Ingliżi nifishom jistgħu wkoll imexxu ftit turizmu għaliex kulħadd forsi jkun irid imur ukoll iżur Santalena. Min jaf din is-Soċjetà Internazzjonali Napoleonica forsi tiddeċiedi wkoll li tagħmel kungress bħalma Malta f'dik il-gżira minħabba r-rabta ta' Napoleon mal-gżejjer twieled fi gżira u xvera Korsika ġi maqbut fi gżira Elba u fl-aħħar miet fi gżira Santalena Xma semmux li Malta meta kellu 29 sena kien fi gżira oħra li għaddija minn storja imqanqla mhux ħażin. Mela għadtux ngħaddu biex nisimgħu din l-intervista ma' David Malcolm li hija bl-Ingliż nħallu għaliex il-maġġor parti mhux vera kulħadd ikun qed jifhem u nittama li ssibuha interessanti u tagħmlu ftit riflessjonijiet bħalma miltiena u forsi anke l-mistoqsijiet iwaslukom f'xi kurzità ġdida li ikun qatalna David Malcolm mill-Istati Uniti li huwa il-President tas-Soċjetà Internazzjonali Napoleonika.
First of all, David, thank you very much for accepting to come to this corner of the hotel in Malta at a time when you are very busy during these days preparing and actually executing the task for which your society came to Malta. You are the president of the International Napoleonic Society, and you're in Malta on a very interesting congress about Napoleon. Actually, it's the 8th International Napoleonic Congress, and the theme seems to be Napoleon and the transition to the modern world. Perhaps you could tell us, first and foremost, why Malta and why this theme?
First of all, let me tell you how pleased I am to be here. It's a great honor to be interviewed on your show. And I tell you, my father was a professor of journalism, and he has always taught me to pay special attention to the media. And if you want to interview me and you want a message to get out, then this is a way to do it. So I'm very pleased to be here. And I'm also very pleased to be on the island of Malta. The people have been very friendly. It is a beautiful island, and the weather has been, for me, beautiful. Some have said it's too hot, but I come from a place where it's always cold and rainy, so I'm delighted to see the sun. We are here at Malta, of course, because Napoleon was in Malta in 1798. He was only a general. This was not a campaign that he has done as first consul or as emperor, which comes later. He is a general, and the government is interested in striking a blow against Great Britain. And the best way they thought to strike this blow was not to try to invade England, because it's a difficult thing to go across the channel with a British fleet, you know.
Without a tunnel.
Yes, exactly. But to cut off the trade route that England had to India. So this is the reason that the French army is going there. And on the way, in 1798, Napoleon stops in Malta, and he's here for 6 days. And so if Malta is good enough for Napoleon, then Malta is good enough for Napoleonic historians who want to follow his footsteps whenever we can.
What about the society itself? It's called the International Napoleonic Society because obviously there are members, fellows from everywhere. Right. Any country in the world.
Sure.
But why based in the United States when normally we associate France with Napoleon?
There are a number of societies, of course, including some very important ones that are in France. We are in North America because Ben Weider, back in about 1995, Ben Weider was a very wealthy businessman in Montreal, Canada, with a passion for Napoleon. So he decided that he would form this international organization, which will consist of fellows who are selected because of special contributions they have made to the field of Napoleonic studies. He honored me by making me his vice president, and I served as vice president for, I suppose, about 13 years. And before he died, he made provisions in his will for an endowment to assure that the work of the International Napoleonic Society would continue and that I would become the president. He died much sooner than any of us ever expected or wanted, obviously. But I have taken over the reins of the institution. And since I live in the United States, in Olympia, Washington, near Seattle, I always have to point out, it's not Washington, D.C., it's Washington State on the upper left-hand corner of the country. So now the headquarters is there. And I will be president as long as I want to be president, and then I will find a replacement so that this organization will continue forever, we hope.
Shall we come to the theme? The theme you chose for the Congress in Malta. This is Napoleon and the transition to the modern world. 200 years
sure.
ago to date, he was right at the peak of this.
Absolutely.
Why the modern world? What are the inferences to the modern world? Politically, mostly, militarily, we know that the modern world was created right under his nose. How do we link to Napoleon mostly? Would it be a political connection or a society in general?
If this were a question on an exam, a multiple choice question, and the last possible choice was all of the above, I would tick all of the above, because Napoleon in many ways was the vanguard of the development of the modern world, especially, of course, of modern Europe. He brought reforms, not just in military. I mean, everybody knows Napoleon was a great military leader, and he has won many, many battles and then lost a couple, Waterloo and so on. But he was so much more than simply a good general. He was an outstanding politician. He understood the needs of people. He understood how to, politicians would say, work the crowd. He worked very, very hard to improve the lives of the people, first, of course, of France, and then those countries in Europe which were his allies or which, you know, became part of his empire later on. He had reforms in education. He changed the education system, opening it up to more people, removing most of the influence of the church, making it a more secular education designed to prepare people for government service, service in the military, and also for service in the business world. He made financial reforms. He created the Bank of France. Before Napoleon, the economy of France was in terrible shape. It was awful. Within 1 year, Napoleon has changed the economy, so now it is doing well. He has made changes in the idea of religious tolerance. Everywhere he went, including here in Malta, even as a general in Italy before Malta, he finds that the Jews, for example, are restricted. Sometimes they have to wear an armband. They can only live in the Jewish ghettos. They can only hold certain kinds of jobs. In France, they can only work in certain cities.
Slavery.
Exactly. It was everything but slavery. He said, this is crazy. We are a tolerant people. We're not going to allow this. So he opened up the ghettos. He removed all of the restrictions on the Jews. It was not very popular among some of his family. He had an uncle who was cardinal, you know. Cardinal Fesch was not at all pleased with this, and some other politicians and business. But he said, no, we're going to do this. So he eliminated the restrictions. When he is here in Malta, he eliminates slavery. He eliminates the nobility. He says, well, no, we're going to make a republic. The people have the right to have influence over their government. It shouldn't just be because you were born to some noble position. So he, in 6 days, he makes a lot of reforms. And to be honest, I think even today, some of those reforms, for example, the law codes, many of those reforms are still in Malta, even though the Maltese, for understandable reasons, because of some of the looting of churches, which hurt the French cause very much. And so the French eventually left and the British came in. But yet Napoleon's influence remains today on Malta. It remains today all across Europe and even, of course, in the United States. He really is the person who, in so many ways, has opened up, and he creates an impetus to remove the ancien regime, to remove the old feudalistic order. Europe was run by kings and emperors and so on. And when Napoleon is defeated, they come back, but their cause is lost. It's futile. They come back for some time, but the die is cast. Julius Caesar said as he crosses the Rubicon, the die is cast. You cannot go back. And once Napoleon has done what he did, even though he is ultimately defeated, the ball that he has started to roll is not going to be stopped.
Nahilom il-kappell, illum David Markham, Amerikan, li huwa l-President ta' Soċjetà Internazzjonali Napoleonika, qiegħed jitkellem magħna dwar is-suġġett internazzjonali ta' Napoleon waqt li huwa kien Malta fl-Ulju tal-2010 għal Kungress Internazzjonali li proprju sar Malta minħabba li l-istess Bonaparti żar il-gżira fil-kampanji tiegħu. U għalhekk din is-soċjetà żżur wieħed wieħed daw il-postijiet li kien fihom u tagħmel daw il-kungressi minn sena għall-oħra. Komplu simgħu neħilhom il-kappell.
Here you outline so well the events in Malta in 1798 when Bonaparte was here. But unfortunately, in Malta, it's famous for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Sort of. And most probably it was because of the British and sections of the church, which was in their interest to keep this collective memory based on what the French did wrong in Malta. Do you think that this is due mostly to the competition, peak conflict that France always had for quite a few centuries with Britain?
Much of the image that we have of Napoleon, especially in the English-speaking world, has come to us from British historians. And there's an old cliche that those who win the battles of history will get to write history. And so for so many years, what do you read about Napoleon? You read he is the ogre, of course. He is a warmonger. All he wants to do is conquer the world. He's a demon. And you see the caricatures from Gilray and others from the time, making Napoleon literally into a devil, you know, with horns and everything. But this is all British propaganda. Even we always think of Napoleon as short. Why? Because the British call him Little Bony. They make cartoons to show that he's small because to make
it ridicule.
Yeah, exactly. The reality is he was an average size. He was about 5'6", 5'7", which was average for French men in those days.
And the Mediterranean person.
Exactly, exactly. He was not short. So we have had the British influence. I love the British today, and I have no ill will today. But in those days, they are focusing on Napoleon and doing their best, even after Napoleon, to make him to be this evil person so that they can be seen as the liberators of Europe from this evil person. And I have a prints in my collection that show exactly this. Great Britain slaying the dragon. St. George, you know, slaying the dragon basically is the image that you have. And that's one reason why we have this society, why Ben Weider formed, and I helped him later, and now I'm president, why we exist, to try to correct the record. We're not here to be a fan club, rah-rah for Napoleon, but we are here to get the truth out. Most of our people are academics, professors, people who are in education, who do research. And if you really study Napoleon, objectively, if you look at him without the bias that you may have from the British or from other countries as well, including Malta, you find out that he is a much better person than you have been led to believe. You learn about his reforms. You learn about what he wanted to do, the vision that he had. Was he perfect? No, of course not. Did he make mistakes? Of course he made mistakes, sometimes foolish mistakes. Spanish campaign was not my favorite, for example. You know, if I had been there, I would have advised him to consider some other action. But in spite of that, the vision he has and the goals he have are positive goals, a positive vision. And that comes not because you're a cheerleader, but because you study the reality, you read the documents, you look at what he actually tried to do, and in many cases what he actually did, and you find, yeah, he was a very progressive person. Would he be a true liberal today? No, because it was 200 years ago. But 200 years ago, if you had to decide, is he a conservative or a liberal or a moderate or something, you would say, for the most part, he was liberal. Not in necessarily every single issue, but for the most part, he was trying to make changes that would make the lives of the people that he controlled better. That's the most important thing any politician in any country in any time in history can do. Try to make the lives of people better.
One thing I would like to hear your opinion about, if I may.
Of course.
Is Napoleon had this dream of the culture and the arts and the sciences that could be present where they originated in the east of the Mediterranean, and hence Egypt. He carried with him so many scholars,
yes,
visiting Malta on their way. One of them, Denon, who became the first director of the Louvre. And this thing somehow, especially judging from what we have inherited in Malta through mostly the media and propaganda, is that created his bad reputation. For example, whenever I ask or mention Napoleon with anybody who is not necessarily the man in the street, sometimes this person is a scholar, but not knowledgeable about Napoleon or has the wrong English historiography about Napoleon. But he would immediately tell you, if he is a Maltese, well, Napoleon stole, using this particular verb, stole our sword of La Valette, which is a beautiful sword with gems and everything, which we have visited times and times over in the Louvre. It used to be in the Apollo room with the crowns of Napoleon, so it was given a lot of credit, sure, with the Order of Malta attached to it. And so many people say, we will forgive Napoleon, using these cliches.
Right, right.
We will forgive Napoleon if France gives us back that sword. Now, how could we reconcile this dream of Napoleon for culture and the arts? He started off so many cultural incentives that later became the big basis for museums, for example, in Europe, to this approach of people ignorant of the full knowledge. France, like Italy, like the British Museum, could never return everything that they took from their previous colonies or territories. Egypt is a case in point. The British Museum would be empty, and the Louvre would have at least two floors empty.
I think so, yes.
Right? So how could one reconcile this thinking of robbing from countries which, after all, became a French territory when Napoleon took such a sword, compared to the much bigger picture of Napoleon putting the basis for a future cultural aspect in society?
There are two parts to this question. I give a lecture sometimes on the campaign in Egypt in the Holy Land, which also, of course, touches on Malta.
And you've been there in a congress as well?
Yes, we have been in the Holy Land in Israel. We have not yet been to Egypt. The title of my lecture is The New Alexander, Napoleon in Egypt in the Holy Land. And he is the new Alexander in a variety of ways, but the main thing is what you have touched on. He has brought with him 200-plus savants, scholars, artists, biologists, botanists, cartographers, mapmakers, all of these people he has brought with him. And they have, as you say, Dinan and the artists, they have made these drawings and the temple rubbings, including even of the Rosetta Stone. They have made rubbings of the British end up with the stone, but it's the French who translate and bring back hieroglyphics to the modern world, Champollion, many years later. So even now as a general, he is interested in expanding knowledge. When he comes back from Italy, by the way, before this campaign, he is made a member of the Institute. This is the highest academic honor you can get in France. And you say, he's a young general. Why would they do this?
29 years old when he came in.
Exactly, exactly. But because they recognized his intellect. He was a brilliant mathematician. He hangs out with people like Monge and others who are mathematicians. And so he is given this great honor as a very, very young general. And it's a very early indication of the approach that he will take about the looting. Because we have to be recognized. Of course, this has happened. It happens in Italy. Two things. The obvious thing, of course, is that every country who conquers another territory, always some things move back to the other country. You know,
as
you say, the British Museum is full of things like this, and the Greeks now want the Elgin marbles back. Well, we'll see how that goes. And so I'm always reminded in France, there is the Arc de Triomphe du Carousel, which used to have these four horses, which have been taken from Italy. And after the fall of Napoleon, the people of Venice, where these horses had come from, they are saying, we want these horses back. They are from us. And they got them back. But, you know, when the negotiations were going on, the French pointed out, you know, it's true, but, you know, you got them from the Turks several hundred years before. So, you know, your hands are not so clean of this either. The Directoire, the government of France, had a number of goals when they would send the French army on campaign. One was to defend La Patrie, you know, to defend against the Austrians. But they also wanted wealth. And the generals, all of the generals, were instructed, you must send back a certain amount of wealth. Today we might say this is terrible, but it is the way life was. That's been that way all through history, that there is a certain amount of this that is done. And it was done in Italy, for example, very methodically. He brings scholars and say, okay, what is the most important stuff we can take back? And it's not all bad, by the way. If everything, say Egyptian, stayed in Egypt, it would be much worse than simply a couple of empty floors in the British Museum and the Louvre. The fact is, people would not have the opportunity to better understand Egyptian culture. It's just like there are French paintings in American museums. Should all of this stuff be sent back to France? Well, first of all, France couldn't take it all back.
Not easy.
Yeah, exactly. And so who would want? There is a certain amount of cultural diffusion that doesn't necessarily justify. In Malta, I have to tell you that Napoleon's goal was to loot, if you will, those things that belong to the knights. And as I understand it, the Maltese didn't care so much about that because they didn't care so much for the knights, you know. And the knights are gone, okay, fine, the knights are gone. We would be better off. The French
wanted them back anyhow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And if the French take some of their stuff, fine. So Napoleon leaves a contingent here and he leaves instructions, you know, you can take the stuff for the night, but leave the churches alone. And the career soldier that he has is trying to follow this order, but another general is trying to make money for himself. And this is always a problem in war. And so now they are looting the churches of the people.
Which are not of the knights.
Exactly. And that is when the people of Malta, and I understand this completely, that's when they became furious with the French. And that, I think, to this day, is the main reason why the Maltese still have, along with, aided by the British propaganda. But I think in terms of the emotional response to Napoleon, I think that is probably the main reason why Napoleon has this negative image, because they think Bonaparte has looted the treasures of the Catholic Church. Bonaparte did not want to do that. but somebody else who was French.
Yeah, when it happened.
Exactly, exactly. So I think, again, in American English, we say, I think he got a bum rap.
I won't keep you much longer.
Oh, I'm delighted. I will talk as long as you want me to talk. It's never a problem.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Your impressions of Malta. Now, you know all this information about Malta. You're so knowledgeable about the history of Malta as regards especially Bonaparte's visit. And now you come here, most probably for the first time in Malta.
Yes.
And you had just a couple of days, but you had visits to places connected with the Bonaparte in Malta. And before you leave, you must carry with you some impressions of today's Malta. What do you make of Malta? Now also as a United States citizen, vis-a-vis tourism, for example, we do not get our share, perhaps, of American tourism in Malta, perhaps because it's less known, I don't know. What are your impressions of Malta now that you've visited?
First of all, let me tell you that my wife and I came about 5 days early, partly to have a vacation and to visit Malta, partly to escape the jet lag, and also to help make some last-minute arrangements for the conference. So we have been all over the island with a friend of ours who is here, and we have been to Gozo, and I must tell you, it's a beautiful island. I will tell you the obvious things. It's a beautiful island. The beaches are lovely.
Sunny.
The sun for someone who lives where I know you complain sometimes, oh, it's hot today. Trust me, it could be worse. We pray to see the sun, you know.
In Maltese we say, better oof than ah. Oof is because of the heat. After all, our wise men in the old days understood this point you're making.
Sure. So that's the obvious part. The architecture is magnificent. I love the old buildings, not the high rises, but the old buildings and the modern buildings that try to keep the same architecture. They are very beautiful. But what is not so obvious, unless you have been here for a while, is how very, very nice the Maltese people are. You know, we have been greeted by all sorts of people, mayors, all the way down to just someone who maybe works in the hotel here. On the street, we go to a bar, a restaurant. Everybody is very friendly. If we are not sure where to go, we ask somebody on the street. They will walk half a block to show, okay, it's over here, it's over there.
And the language helps.
Oh, it's always nice.
Know English as well.
It's always nice to go to a country that speaks English because, of course, I speak some other languages a little tiny bit, but English is my language. I think that the reason you don't get so many American tourists is probably for two reasons, and you touched on the main reason. I don't think Americans really know about Malta so much. I've had many people in the United States, oh, you're going to Malta, and they would say, oh, by the way, can you tell me where is Malta? And I have to say, yes. Oh, that's right.
Some believe it's in the east of the Mediterranean.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. Some of them didn't know it was in the Mediterranean, you know, because obviously it's a tiny island compared to Corsica, and it's a little more difficult to get to. It takes a longer time to get to here, let's say, than to Paris or London or something. But if I have anything to say about it, more people will come, because anyone who asks me, and when I put a report of the conference on my website, I will say nothing but very, very good things about Malta. It's a wonderful place to visit. I have to leave on Saturday, and I'm already sad, you know. I don't want to. It's been a wonderful experience, and I want to thank the people of Malta for making this Congress a success, for the media coverage we have received, a very friendly reception that you have given both me personally and all of the participants that we have from South Africa, from Russia, from France, from Canada, all sorts of places. It has been a wonderful experience. And it's mostly because of the kindness of the Maltese people.
Well, Mr. Magrum, as president of the International Napoleonic Society, I thank you very much for the lovely words you had about Malta, for your analysis, and most of all for having you on our show.
It's a great pleasure, and I wish you all the very best of luck. And I will say one last thing, a very famous words by an American general, I shall return.
Dakken David Maken, li huwa President tas-Soċjetà Internazzjonali Napoleonika u li kien Malta fl-Ulju tal-2010 għall-Kungress imniedi mill-istess soċjetà li aħna konna tkellimna dwaru xi ġimgħat ilu u li tagħna dik l-intervista fuq kif wieħed jista' forsi iħares lejn din il-figura daqshekk kbira ta' Napoleon anke mill-Istati Uniti post li huwa qatt ma żar ħajtu. Tajb ukoll ngħidu li din l-istess għaqda internazzjonali għandha journal u dimi bħalissa għandi wieħed n-numru 3 li ħareġ f'Mejju ta' din is-sena 2010 U dan huwa Napoleonic Scholarship, the Journal of International Napoleonic Society, u jagħtina diversi tarifiet anke minħabba l-fatt li jiktbu fih att ta' skolari u jgħid ċarru tont din ir-rivista dan il-ġurnal li l-idea hija li jippromuovi l-istudju tal-era Napoleonika b'livelli akademiċi f'postom. Huwa jgħid ukoll li wieħed jista' bis-saħħa tal-kungressi li jiġu organizzati minn din is-soċjetà jiltaqa' ma' nies oħra li jkollhom ukoll idejat oħra u diskussjonijiet oħra u għalhekk dak it-tarif li wieħed jaf fuq Bonaparti jew l-aspetti tal-istudji u l-analiżi tiegħu dejjem jiżdiedu. Interessanti f'dan il-ġurnal li għandi quddiemi l-aħħar wieħed li ħareġ, pereżempju għandek l-istorja dwar l-aħħar sigħat ta' Napoleon fi Franza. Li jiktbu l-istess David Markham. Għandna wkoll pereżempju l-Mark Billings jikteb fuq Napoleon bħala l-bniedem li daħal it-tama fl-Ewropa. Mbagħad Ivan Mentashavili jgħidilna dwar ir-romantiċi l-kbar u għalhekk jikteb partikolarment fuq Napoleon fil-poeżija ta' Lord Byron. Interessanti anke hemm il-ħobb letteratura Angliża. Tara Luke titkellem dwar Politics in the American Pulpit, American Opinion of Napoleon, li wkoll tkun interessanti wara l-intervista li għadna kemm smajna. Hawn diversi, anke pereżempju Jonathan North jitkellem dwar An Interesting Swede, Adam Frederick Netherwood, li għandu x'jaqsam ukoll ma' Bonaparti u fl-aħħar wieħed jista' jaqra dwar Grouchy and the Waterloo Campaign minn idejn John Callagher. Dawn ikunu interessanti l-biċċa l-kbira ikunu bl-Ingliż u allura ikunu iktar aċċessibbli għal min forsi ma jafx lingwi oħra u naħseb li għal ukoll interess għal min ħobb jaqra b'mod differenti aktar milli bħassoltu naqraw biss l-opinjonijiet jew tal-Ingliżi jew tan-nies Ewropej. Ġifieri din hija interessanti u nittama li anka din ir-rivista wieħed ikun jista' forsi jaksiba għalkemm u hija mhijiex għall-bieħ perse imma tingħata lil min ikun fellow. Kif jgħidu huma ta' din is-soċjetà. Sen profetta ruħi illum kif għandna ftitħin fil-programm tagħna biex ngħid xi ħaġa li hija relatata u forsi ta' min iwassal ftit tarif fuq bniedem li jidħol fid-diskussjoni bħal Bonaparti jekk neħilu x'il-kappell viżavi Malta. U dika l-ġudizzju ħalli f'idejkom Bonaparti żgur li għamel bidla kbira f'Malta u li kieku ma ġewx il-Franċiżi ta' Bonaparti kieku il-probabbilità kienet li l-kavalliri kienu eventwalment jispiċċaw imma ħadd ma jaf kif kien ikun id-destin Malti. U għalhekk forsi Bonaparti qatt għandna d-deċiżjoni ta' kif għandu jkun id-destin anki bl-istess reazzjoni li għamlu l-Maltin tal-kampanja kontra s-soldati li ħalla hawnhekk u li eventwalment tumbal ġabu l-Ingliżi u għalhekk fi anfisha ma kien jiġri xej li kieku qabel xej ma ġiex Bonaparti hawnhekk u waqqaf lill-orni milli tigverna iżjed f'dawn il-gżejjer. U għalhekk naħseb għandu ċerta importanza kbira fil-ħajja tal-Maltin fl-istorja tagħna. Persuna li huwa ħalla warah u li għalkemm kien formalment inkarigat mhux dejjem seta' jmexxi hu għaliex kellu diversi nies oħra jmexxu miegħu, kien il-ġeneral Vaubois. Vaubois naħseb tibqa' figura ftit enigmatika għal dawk li ma jkunux daħlu biżejjed fl-istudju ta' dak il-perjodu. Isu bħal ħompex kultant, ħompex jitlaq minn hawnhekk b'ħafna mistoqsijiet warah. Fl-istess ħin għal min derbeżieħ, għal min ma seta' jagħmel xejn iżjed, Bonaparti stess qala fil-memoirs tiegħu qabel miet li kien qal ma tistax takkuża lill-ħompex li mixa ta' kodard meta ċeda għaliex dan kien ikun qed jipprova l-impossibbli. Jiġifieri naħseb kienet sitwazzjoni li d-deċiżjoni tagħha kienet fl-aħħar mill-aħħar xi ħaġa li ma tistax titkellem iżjed wara. U tal-waqt ikunna ktieb ta' Dr. Thomas Freller li jista' jiżvela din is-sena aktar tard iktar interess fuq kemm ħompex kien jaf minn kmieni biex se jiġri meta jiġi Bonaparti. Anka li ħajjiġi Bonaparti din ħadd tkun interessanti u għalhekk wieħed iħallija fil-kurzietta ta' kulħadd. Imma tajjeb li Vaubois f'daw il-ftit minuti li għandna intuħ titwila. Min kien? Dana kien jismu Claude Henri Belcroix, konti ta' Vaubois, kif baqa' magħruf iktar tard, discendent ta' familja antika ferm minn Champagne. I-Champagne, kulħadd jaf li qiegħda Franza magħrufa proprju għall-isem li tqat lil dik ix-xarba li biha niċċelebraw l-affarijiet fid-dinja, ix-Champagne. Minn din il-familja ta' Champagne twielet Longchamp-le-Clairvaux, il-Dipartiment ta' l'Aube, ta' fuq li taqsimiet tar-reġjuni, u dan twielet fl-ewwel ta' Ottubru 1748. Wieħed jikkalkula li meta ġi Malta dan il-ġeneral kellu 50 sena. Ta' jibna jlu koll li huwa mill-bidu deher li jħobb il-professjoni tal-armi u minn żagħżugħ wera li jrid jidħol fil-kavallerija. Ta' kizmin kienet għada ta' sultan tar-reġim il-qadim, insibu li wara ċertu pariri li nataw lil-ġenituri tiegħu u anki lilu huwa ddeċida li jkompli fl-artillerija. Ta' jib tiftakru li jekk morru Pariġi u tittawlu fl-Arc de Triomphe fejn hemm l-ismijiet tal-ġenerali l-kbar kollha ta' Napoleon, issibu lil Vaubois ukoll. Min jittawwal minn nofs l-arkata fejn hemm il-fjamma s-suldat mhux magħruf jekk ħares lejn Champs-Élysées u jħares lejn il-Lemin. Fil-naħa tisfel isib lil Vaubois li kien ġeneral f'Malta għalkemm huwa ovvjament kellu unuri ħafna oħrajn li spiċċaw aħjar milli spiċċa x-xogħol tiegħu f'Malta. Nistgħu ngħidu li mill-ewwel għamel suċċess fil-karriera tiegħu fil-militar u isibu li l-istudji tiegħu ogżon u mbagħad minn hemmhekk għamel sentejn u mal-ewwel irnexxielu joħroġ bħala tenent u daħal fir-Riġment ta' Metz fis-7 ta' Ġunju 1770 li wkoll ifisser ta' 22 sena kien diġà tenent. Kien juri minn kmieni li se jkollu karriera brillanti. Fl-1784 insibuh li ġie nominat il-kaptan tar-Riġment l-Affer u fl-1787 intbat Strasburgu. Ħatrit oħra tiegħu fis-snin tal-1790-ijiet, jiġifieri ftit snin qabel ma fl-aħħar ġi Malta, kienu Grenoble u Valence wkoll. U għalhekk wieħed jista' faċilment jifhem għaliex imbagħad ftit snin qabel ġie hawnhekk ġie ddekorat bħala kavallir ta' San Luigi. Ħaġa kienet unur kbir ukoll għan-nies li kienu jaħdmu fil-militar. L-affer Valence huwa sar jaf lil Bonaparti mill-viċin fix-xogħol tagħhom. U għamlu ħbib mill-ewwel, tant li nistgħu ngħidu baqgħu ħbib sal-mewt. Fl-ewwel ta' Novembru 1788, jiġifieri 10 snin qabel ġi Malta meta kellu 40 sena, Vaubois iżewweġ lis-Sinjorina Marie Ursule de Barthélemy. Dan huwa kunjom famuż kulħadd jafu, Barthélemy kien anki Malta, ġie hawnhekk, mhux biss ġie hawnhekk qabel Bonaparti taħt il-kavalliri. U jibqa' magħruf għal dak li identifika u ittraduċa id-dekodifika il-kliem puniku li għanna fuq iċ-ċippus ta' Malta u li kopja minnom għaliex għandna tnejn qiegħda l-Luf ġew Pariġi l-oħra qiegħda għandna l-Belt u li bija s-saħħa tagħha saru jafu l-alfabet puniku li għamel ħoss kbir fid-dinja u r-rabta tagħha kienet ovvjament minħabba nissejba saretgħu ma' Malta. Vobwa żewweġ lil Marija Ursula de Barthelemy f'dan iż-żwieġ kellhom tifla. Bħala bniedem li ġej minn familja nobli antika meta faqqat ir-Rivoluzzjoni fl-1789 u allura kien ilu miż-żewweġ sena biss, irnexxielu jibqa' ħaj. Ma kienx faċli aċċetta li jitneħħew it-titli kollha u n-nobbiltà li kellhom il-familja tiegħu antika u għalhekk irnexxielu jibqa' jgħix mar-Repubblikani ħaddan daw il-prinċipji l-ġodda u baqa' għaddej fil-professjoni tal-armi, xi ħaġa li kulħadd taraf li huwa kellu u għalhekk qisu ħadd ma kkundannah għal-mewt bħalma għamlu l-ħafna li r-rezistow. Intażel minnu fih bħala il-kap tal-battaljon tal-volontieri nazzjonali fid-Drom emmek ġi aċċettat ukoll li jidħol fl-armata tal-Alpi li fl-aħħar mill-aħħar kienet għamlet l-assedju ta' Lyon. Il-fama tal-ġeneral Vobois ġiet ma' kullum kien u meta Bonaparti għamel ħsieb jibda l-kampanja f'dawk is-snin ta' qabel ġi Malta lejn l-Italja u li timur lejn Livorno lilu poġġieħ fir-ras tad-diviżjoni li kellha tieħu Livorno. Iġġieled bisħieħ din il-kampanja tal-1796 l-imġiba tiegħu Livorno mill-ġdid tagħtu ħafna unuri, ġeneral Gentili kien wieħed milli kien miegħu wkoll u flimkien ħadmu biex jieħdu Korsika. Korsika għamel suċċess kbir, il-Korsikani tant ħadu gost bil-preżenza tiegħu bl-aqal bis-sens ta' dedika li jagħmel meta jiġi biex jamministra, kienet isha pożizzjoni tiġbaħ dik li taħ Bonaparti f'Malta, il-Korsikani stess offrewlu siġġu fil-Kamra Leġislattiva tagħhom. Huwa ħassu onorat imma din ma ċċettajiex għax l-iskop tiegħu kienet li jkompli l-karriera. Fl-1798 kif nafu l-kol aħna l-Maltin, Bonaparti beda jorganizza u beda l-kampanja tal-Eġittu u minn Tolon telaq biex jiġi Malta. Mill-ewwel sejjaħ lill-ħabib tiegħu il-ġeneral Vobois flimkien ma' ħafna oħrajn li jagħmlu isem kbir fl-Ewropa saħansitra kien hemm minn iġġieled u miet għalih, kien hemm min għamel suwiċidju għax ħassu ħjati meta ma marx jgħinu Waterloo, meta fl-1918 kellu bżonnu u kien hemm min anki rebaħ gwerer iktar minn numru li rebaħ Bonaparti. Xi ħaġa li Malta di ma nagħtux kasa ma' fil-port il-kbir proprju ġo Malta kellna il-krema tal-aqwa armata li probabbli qatrat l-Ewropa. Vobois ġi hawnhekk, Bonaparti ħallih inkarigat għal sentej mexxa gvern ċivili, meta l-Ingliżi ishom tafgħu għajnejhom fuq Malta u ridu jibqgħu hawnhekk, allura mbagħad il-Franċiżi ċedew bl-unuri u ħarġu mill-port il-kbir u għaddew il-gvern lill-Ingliżi. F'dak iż-żmien li għamel hawnhekk huwa ra li l-liġijiet ta' Bonaparti jiġu effettwati Malta, naħseb tistgħu staqsu kull avukat li għaw Malta, maġistrat jew imħallef li l-kod Napoleon. Il-kodiċi ta' Napoljun għadhom il-bażi tal-liġijiet tagħna għaw Malta. Vobois reġa' lura Franza fl-1800 wara li telaq Malta, ma propju anke qabel telaq minn hawnhekk ġi rikonoxxut bħala l-bniedem li qed jitħabat jibża għall-gwarniġjon tiegħu ta' Franċiżi, beża għall-ordni anki ġol-belt ġot li t-tibliet u l-Furjana, sintendi meta kien hemm daqshekk ġuħ seta kellu rivoluzzjoni oħra anka mill-istess soldati tiegħu, ġifieri ċertu mmutinaġġ, ri tikollu ċerta disċiplina serja u jagħti l-eżempju serju kif dak il-ġuħ kollu maqtuħ minn kullun kienu ma jistax jirċievi għajnuna minn barra bil-baħar, żamm id-dekor, żamm id-diċenza u għamel unur ir-Repubblika Franċiża. U fil-fatt fis-27 ta' Lulju 1800 kien għadu l-belt fl-aħħar ġimgħat qabel ma telqu minn Malta f'Settembru huwa ingħata unur mill-Ministru tal-Gwerra Franċiż fejn ġi rrikkomandat bħala bniedem ta' kuraġġ kbir u ta' għaqal u tmexxija. Tant li Bonaparti minnu fih ressa l-kandidatura biex ikun membru tas-Senat u appena telaq minn Malta huwa kien jifforma parti mis-Senat li jmexxi Franza. U għalhekk nistgħu ngħidu li l-karriera militari tiegħu intemmet Malta. Madankollu il-ħidma tiegħu li l-patrija Franċiża ma waqfitx b'Malta għaliex fl-1802 insibuh segretarju tal-istess Senat u meta truppi Ingliżi fl-1809 niżlu fil-gżira ta' Valcheren, il-ġeneral li issa ma kienx għadu żgħir ħafna u x'vera kellu 60 sena, reġa' qisu daħal fil-militar biex jagħti l-parti tiegħu u hemmhekk mexxa d-diviżjoni tal-Gwardji Nazzjonali ta' Ostende. Wara Napoleon reġa' ġi Luigi 18 din id-darba vobwa hemmhekk ix-xorti ma baqax titbissimlu. Imma insibu li l-istess Sultan il-Luigi 18 ukoll ara fil-kuraġġ tiegħu u taħ unur ukoll Franċiż ieħor, imma reġa' daħal il-kampanja ma' Napoleon f'dik il-mitt ġurnata li Napoleon reġa' attakka biex jikseb it-tmexxija u rnexxier jikseb it-tmexxija ta' Franza qabel Waterloo biex ngħidu hekk. U allura dan il-bniedem isu bħal donnu il-viċendi politiċi kif jgħidu u l-patrija qatt ma kienu l-bot minnu. Huwa mitfun flimkien ma' bintu Godette f'Bove u huwa miet f'Novembru ta' l-1839. Miet feta sabiħa ta' 91 sena. Ingħata l-unur ta' uffiċjal fil-Legion d'Honneur li kienet għaqda daħajja sallum li waqqaf Bonaparti, wara mewtu ingħata wkoll l-unur ta' konti tal-Imperu u dan ingħata fl-20 ta' Awwissu 1868. Dak it-tarif dwar il-ġeneral Vobwa, intemmu l-programm tagħna tal-lum. Fakkarkom lillum kellna wkoll mistieden lil David Malcolm li huwa il-President tas-Soċjetà Internazzjonali Napoleonika li kif Malta u li kellna ċans nagħmlulu intervista. Min-naħati għajċarx xi rebinżel minnkom u nistiedinkom tkunu magħna ġimgħandieħa.